And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, we are at the midpoint of the big meeting of the church in Jerusalem regarding how things are going in the church at large. We come to an interesting statement in verse 19. James says, we should stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God. I wish, I pray, I hope that denominations would emblazon this on the front of all their material. What this means is to stop adding to different believers the things that believers themselves are personalizing in regarding their walk, unless it's like a non-negotiable. James states, we don't need to drop anything more on their heads. Yeah, that's my paraphrase. Next, in order to verify everything it is as they say it is, they're going to send a letter. The letter is coming from the apostles, the elders, and the whole church in Jerusalem. I think that's important to note that everybody was involved. It wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just the elders. It was everybody in the church. Everybody together looked at this and recognized, wow, God has granted salvation to the Gentiles. Let's not try to make this harder than it already is. And finally, the letter concludes with two very significant points. This decision had been unanimously agreed upon. If anybody has been in church for more than 2 weeks over the last 100 years, you know that unanimously agreeing upon a decision is almost miraculous. The other element he points out is that the official representatives carrying this letter come from them. They're actual representatives. In the negative sense, this shows that people who are not official representatives often come with their position. That's what Scripture warns against. So we all need to be aware.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, get ready. You'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like winning at musical chairs.
Oh, not bad, Dave. That's pretty good, actually.
That's really good. Actually, there's two great things about musical chairs.
Let me hear it.
The one is if you win it. And the other one is if you're the first one out, so you no longer have to do it. Okay, those are the two great things about. I'm sorry, I just had to share that. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you've got a prayer request. This is an excellent venue for that. So I encourage you, if you've got something you want to pray for, bring it. Talk to us about it. Let's take our faith. Let's combine it. Let's petition the Lord and ask for help. If you've got a praise report, something going on, and you just want to say, you know what, I really want to acknowledge that the Lord has done this great thing, and I just want to share it with other people. That always blesses other brothers and sisters. That's what we love. Here's the thing. Psalm 119, verse 63, I'm a companion to all them that fear you. And the bottom line is, I don't care if you're Baptist or Pentecostal. I don't care if you're Church of Christ. I don't care what your background is. Do you recognize that we have the same Heavenly Father? Do you understand that we are blood relatives through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and His blood, which is shed for us, which was laid on that cross for our behalf, and that we all drink of the same Holy Spirit? If you are one of those, I don't care where you come from. If you're an authentic Christian, we're your brother and sister. So we'll combine it together and do what we can to strengthen one another, to bless one another, and to encourage one another. That is our goal. So there's two quick things I got to say in lieu of all of that. Number one, Al wanted to know if he could get the trivia questions for tomorrow's replay ahead of time. I told him no. Okay, the answer is no. And then two, because I love Joyanne and Cordelia. They're like some of my favorite people in the world. You girls never have to worry about missing a show or anything like that. You know, sometimes if they miss, they're like, oh, we missed a show. That's okay. Not only do we have the podcast, but I wouldn't listen to all my shows if I was listening. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. It's like I'm my biggest fan and my worst critic.
That's how it goes, Dave.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah. You know, sometimes I hear a bit, I go, oh, turn me off. Right? Actually, you know who says that more than me?
Noel?
Yes. I come home, she goes, show's over. That's what she says.
Oh, that's funny.
Show's over. Stop talking. Oh, okay. Sorry, honey. Well, Bert likes me. Okay, anyhow. So here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got something you want to share. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you're going to answer a trivia question. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a... what? I'm stopping right there. Ha ha. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a... okay. There you go. Excuse me. See, I just got that little bit left. Don't you hate that at the very end? You're just like, get it out. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. That's how brave you guys are. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Will Rogers.
Hey, Will Rogers. How are you, brother?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
I'm doing much better than I have been doing. So I'm just, every time I feel a little bit better, I am just praising the Lord. Because a week ago, I was starting that downtrend, and now I'm on the uptrend and almost at the very, very top. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Okay?
You're welcome.
All right. Here you go. Here you go. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a
ghost.
That is correct, Emmanuel!
I mean, what else can walk on the water?
And you know what's amazing, though, is how often Christians now, when the Lord shows up, they think he's a ghost. It's the same thing. It's like you hardly ever believe it's the Lord because it's like, that's just bizarre. Something weird is happening instead of going, all right, the Lord is here. We're more like responsive in fear than we are in faith oftentimes. Excellent.
My understanding is you're having some medical procedure tomorrow I need to pray for.
Yes, you do. So tomorrow... what we have called for many, many, many moons, I have this cyst on the side of my head. And this is the third time that I'm having it removed. But the doctor said, this over 20 years. And he said, we're going into the roots, so we're going to put you out this time. Because normally you just go in and they slit it open and pull it out. And it looks like a pea, you know, like a white little pea or something. And
what you mean.
Yeah. And so they're going to go into the roots and take it out. So they'll put me out for just about 30 minutes. The whole procedure is about, they said it really wouldn't be more than 40 from start to finish plus an hour in recovery. So it shouldn't be that big a deal. But I'm not allowed to drive or travel without help. So Noelle's taking the day off and going to walk me through it again. So bless her heart.
I will be praying for you and hope those prayers assist you.
I hope they assist me, too. You are so funny. That's just brilliant. Yes, that's brilliant right there. Excellent job. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed rest of the day.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. We are just, we have the greatest people.
We do, Dave.
We do. All right. So Jeff Dixon was the one who got the pow-pow on that. But Al said Casper. They thought he was Casper. Nothing like respect here. All right, let's get into the text. Acts chapter 15. This is James after he makes that connection, as we talked about last week, to the Gentiles being a fulfillment for the restoration of David's temple. Just read it. I didn't say it. James said it. Don't get mad at me. Here in verse 19, this is what he says. And so my judgment is, this is Acts 15, 19. So my judgment is that we should stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God, except that we should write to them to tell them to abstain from eating meat sacrificed to idols, from sexual immorality, and for consuming blood or eating the meat of strangled animals. For these laws have been preached in the Jewish synagogues in every city and every Sabbath for many generations. Okay. Three incredibly brilliant things that you got to catch. The first thing, and I'll go an extra minute because it's so good. The first thing is James is like, so we should stop troubling the Gentiles. Now, I want to make a point here, and I don't want you to get offended. I really don't. I want you to understand that people, when they encounter God, there is a deal. When Jesus Christ becomes real to them, when the Word of God becomes alive, when it's no more just a book, all of a sudden you realize it's something real that somebody wrote and it was written, you know, that God has authored that book, and you have the Holy Spirit moving upon your heart. You've acknowledged Jesus Christ and surrendered your life. He lives in your heart by faith. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He's functioning in you. This is how the process goes, and you become a Christian. One of the things that you should have noticed, if you have not noticed, is that not everybody's walk is exactly the same. Not everybody walks and responds the exact same way at every point in their Christianity. Some people, when they first get saved, they're more on fire. Some people, somewhere in the middle, they get on fire. Some people, at the end of their lives, they get more on fire. It's like there is no set pattern there. And one of the things that James says, which is probably worth 4 or 5 hours of discussion, is, you know, let's not trouble the Gentiles anymore. Let's not throw anything else on them. What God has put upon you is exceedingly important for you. Exceedingly. But because he put it on you does not necessitate you put it on somebody else when it has to do with the style of your walk. There is one way in. It is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Heaven is God's home. Jesus is the door. Once they have acknowledged Jesus Christ, their walk does not need to reflect your walk unless you're walking perfect. And I don't know anybody, and I mean anybody, and just so we can be on the same page, I have talked and had fellowship with tens of thousands of people over 45 years at the highest and lowest levels, and there is nobody who I want to emulate except for Jesus Christ. This is a period. There's some things I wish I had more attitude in or more, you know, disciplines in and all that stuff. Absolutely. But the first thing that James is saying worth note is, let's not put anything on them. And oh, that God would put this on the hearts of people that within the denominations, they would say, these are the things that we flavor in, but you're not required to flavor them to fellowship with us. Oh, that would be the wisdom of the church. Then perhaps maybe there would be more maturity and we would stop being like infants tossed back and forth. Get Dave off the soapbox. Dave is rolling. I mean, that's some serious stuff right there.
The highest point. Dave, what's the lowest point? What does that mean?
The lowest point, the person who is just the worst
in
possible.
The dumps. Gotcha.
Oh, the worst and the worst, but they still have this thing. They still have this seed called Jesus is Lord.
Not my call. It's not for me. I know. There's some people like, well, they're not saved because they're not. Like, don't you? You only the Lord knoweth everybody that is in his kingdom. Got to be so careful there. And you knoweth not at what point they said, oh, God, forgive it all. Careful. The reason that God is the only one they can judge eternally is because he's the only one that knows eternally. You can evaluate. You can tell people. You can declare. You don't get to make an eternal judgment because only God has all the info. That's why. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal. How I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes. I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend, or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I am just blessed to be a part of everybody's life. Now, I just got a praise report from Deb. And Deb, I've been praying. She doesn't know this because she just sent it to me. So I've been praying for Holly. And so she has – her kids are, like, out, like, of the country, okay? And so they've been praying for her to get into this college situation or whatever. And so, you know, it's Steve and Deb and Blake and Holly and Blair. That's their family. And I've been praying for Blake and Holly to be able to come back to the United States. And she just sent me a text saying, happened.
just happened.
Wow. Praise God.
Since she told me, I've been praying every day. And it's not me. Believe me, when Aunt Deb's praying, that's who's praying. Okay? And I bet the Lord's like, I've heard enough. Thank you. But I'm just so blessed. It's like, what a great, 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 great testimony. Just love it. Just love it. Just love it. Praise the Lord.
Join the other faith, eh?
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you join your faith with one another and then something great happens for them, you get to, I'm telling you right now, you get to share in that glory. I'm so blessed right now. It's like, I know, I got to do the show, but that is cool stuff, man. That is cool, cool stuff. Okay? All right. Let's see. Trivia question. We do trivia, right? All right. As best we can determine, how many New Testament letters were written by Jesus's stepbrothers? So I could just say Jesus's brothers. That would be true. But how many letters of the New Testament were written by Jesus's stepbrothers? Okay. That's kind of the way that I'm going to say that. So just leave it there. Okay, boy, I'm so happy for Aunt Deb and for Blake and for Holly. Yay!
Praise God. Hey.
Yay, praise the Lord. See, this is the thing. Answered prayers, when you're a part of it, it's just so like, that's the kingdom of God, you know, breaking through the struggle and the fierceness and the spiritual warfare that's all around us. I just love it. Okay. Okay, so now I know this one's a little controversial, this trivia question, but you still got to answer it. The best we can determine, how many New Testament letters were written by Jesus' stepbrothers? And by that, we're saying, you know, this is going to be in the general epistles. So, you already know one specifically, so you just have to think, is there more? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. That's why it's a number two trivia, or number two and number three trivia, actually, in our process. If you think you know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemusincrease.org. I have one additional trivia question, or not joke, for Eric, who just got the pow-pow. So it's amazing. On this, but so here, you ready for my joke? Are you ready? Dynamite D, ready for the joke?
I am double ready.
Wow. All right. Now, this is an airline joke, so everybody just bear with me, okay? The loudspeaker of the big jet clicked on, and that captain's voice announced in a clear, even tone, "Now, there's no cause for alarm, but we felt you should know that for the last 3 hours we've been flying without the benefit of radio, compass, radar, or navigational beam due to the breakdown of certain key components. This means that we are, in the broad sense of the word, lost and not quite sure in which direction we are heading. I'm sure you'll be glad to know, however, that we are still making excellent time."
Well, I'm ramming.
I just wanted to play that.
That's so funny. I love that. Okay, so trivia question. So you've got to know that there are two, or there.
I was about to say, but Dave, I was about to say that's a tricky question, but you didn't need this before, Dave.
I did again. I am so bad. Okay, so this trivia question is going bust because I already gave the answer. Here it is. Okay. James is the Lord's brother, and then Jude is also the Lord's brother. So James, who had his five chapters, and then Jude, who has one chapter. So the answer was James and Jude. Therefore, the answer is two. Okay. Yes. Whoops. Okay. All right, everybody. I'm not going to pay attention. Okay, here we go. Okay. Let's go back to this text. I want to make sure you get this. I don't want to kind of speak it too far, and I don't want to beat it to death, but it's superbly important. Acts 15:19. "So my judgment is that we should stop troubling Gentiles who turn to God, except that we should write to them to tell them to abstain from eating meat sacrificed to idols, from sexual sexual immorality and from consuming blood or eating the meat strangled animals. Of these laws, Moses have been preached in the Jewish synagogues in every city on the Sabbath for many generations. And then he says this. So what he's telling them is, look, we've got to major in the majors. We're not going to major in the minors. Jesus even made a reference to this when he said that some people strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's what he meant. You're thinking, what would even strain at a gnat and swallow a camel? It means that they can swallow a whole camel, but they can't even eat a gnat. What that means is people get so caught up in so many things, and they put big for little and little for big, and it's like, calm down, okay? God is the author of salvation. How that salvation manifests could not possibly be the same for each person, or there could not actually be a body of Christ. Every part would be the same element. That just doesn't work. Right? 12 tribes, one Israel. And what's important is there are some things that we do need to stand by. There are some things that are immovable. What's an immovable thing in regards to salvation? It's in Jesus Christ. What is that? We call it a non-negotiable. And then here's the argument. Ready? And I'm going to use the argument. People say, well, a loving God wouldn't let people go to hell. People are all going to hell. It's a loving God that's giving them a lifeboat not to go to hell, because that's what his righteousness demands. And if people don't like how the loving God does it, tough. Then become God and challenge him. In the meantime, be quiet and sit down. In other words, the Lord's way is the way. And there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. What seems to be right is often filled with impurities and pollutants. That's why when they say, love is love and love is love. No, it's not. If I love my child, if I love Joshua when he's 4 years old and he's going to touch the hot stove, you say, don't touch that. Not, oh, touch it, just experiment, see what happens. In the meantime, I'll take you to the emergency room so they can graft on a new hand. I mean, that's like so stupid. And then I'll tell you one other thing that drives me crazy while I'm on my soapbox, because I might as well, and that's this idea. Well, you can't legislate morality. Really? What do you think a law is? Thou shalt not murder. And if you murder somebody, there's a penalty. Hey, that's morality. Get over it.
Pretty good, eh?
It's like so bizarre. People say the weirdest things. It's like, stop saying stuff like that. The truth of the matter is that man is trying to establish his own righteousness, which is why you have all these different theories of culture, and they're all a mess. Well, that offends me. Hey, Jesus offended a lot of people, and I got a message for you. They're all going to be offended and condemned when he returns if they keep rejecting him. So my point in bringing all this up is, hey, there are some things that are non-negotiable. Jesus Christ, non-negotiable. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. So I'll share that dream that I shared before. It's not my dream, somebody else's dream, but I always thought it was a cool thing. This person had a dream. They were sharing, this is years ago, 30 plus years ago. And they had this dream about that there was all these demons and they were fighting in the kingdom. They were fighting against angels. And then all of a sudden they all lost. And then this gold lasso went around all of them. And it started at their legs, at the bottom of their legs all the way up, and then skipped over up to their thighs, then all the way up to their neck, and then skipped over from their chin to their nose. And then the person who had the dream was like asking the Lord, why is that happening? And the answer that the person got was, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's why those weren't covered. And it's like, listen, everybody is going to acknowledge Jesus Christ. You're either going to do it with tears of joy or tears of sorrow. And if you're listening and you haven't made that decision, you need to make that decision right now, because there might not be a later then. It's straightforward. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, everybody. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
If you believe, you receive Jesus Christ in your heart by faith, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in you, and you become a child of God. If you're that person and you haven't done that, do it right now. Call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. Just say, Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. Please save me and teach me and guide me and direct me and help me that I may have fellowship with you, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. I pray in your name. Amen and amen. All right, we will take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. See, if I was able to teach tomorrow instead of doing the operations, the procedure, I would be all the way there because the rest of it would just be.
I believe it.
But that's all right because the Lord has his plan. He's got a purpose. And so sometimes you sit there and say, and I do this. I don't know if you guys do this. I'm like, what? And then the Lord goes, trust, trust, trust. Right? And it's like, okay. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? I think it's hard. It was hard for me. I don't know about everybody else. What prophet did Jesus compare himself to regarding his burial, his death and his burial and resurrection? He said, it's like this particular prophet's experience. What prophet was he making reference to in the Old Testament? I will give you a hint if you guys don't get it, but what prophet was he connecting his death and burial to spending time in the earth? What prophet did he connect that to in the Old Testament? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website, as we often do at this particular time. A couple things to tell you. Don't forget about the prayer requests and the praise reports that you can fill out there on the website. Also, we do have a new speaking event on July 2nd, so be aware of that. Plus, we have a few more that are up and coming. Plus, new interviews. We might be having the opportunity to interview a very spectacular scholar who has written one of my favorite theological books. We'll just wait and see. I'll just keep praying. We'll just see what happens. And then also on the website is a place to give, and I'll just tell you this. Ouch. 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 Okay, so let's do the little Oliver thing. More, sir. Please, sir. I would like some more. If you can give, that'd be fantastic. Do so on the website. Also, if you want to give but you don't want to use the website, even though it's safe, you get the information on how to give. You can do that directly through the website. It tells you how to connect and give by check or by credit card. Check it out at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's all, folks.
You see, now if you're me, you know why that's fantastic, right? I mean, how is that not just... For those that don't know, that's the Looney Tunes kind of exit there. I used to have an email, Looney Spoon.
I can see that, Dave.
Yeah. But to get rid of it because people were like, that's not really good for business. Like, holy, I should have kept it, though, now, but it's too late. Okay, so trivia question. What prophet did Jesus compare himself to regarding his death and burial? I will give you this hint. Is it time to go fishing? Oh, okay. Is it time to go fishing? Now just think what Old Testament prophet we're thinking of. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We will do our history later. We'll do it in the next segment, if that's okay with everybody. I'm sure people won't mind. So, just so everybody's got the schedule going, we do have somebody calling in. The schedule is going to be tomorrow. I'm going to have that procedure, so I could use some prayers. It'll be taking place right about 12:45, I think, is my understanding. I should be done. I should be home by 3:30, so it shouldn't be that big a deal. And then on Monday, the studio's closed. So on Friday, we're doing a terrific, terrific. When I say terrific, I mean top tenner review. I'm just a top tenner replay. It's up to you. You know, I'm telling you. And then on Monday, we're doing another fantastic. And Mondays, you have to find the really good ones for Monday to replay because it's Monday. I don't care what anybody says. So I think we've done an excellent job there. And then I'll be back on Tuesday, ready to rock and roll. And then be praying because I need to know what next book to go into. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing a lot better than I've been doing, Gary. I've been a lot better. It's just all I can say is so much better than the last couple of days.
I've been praying for you.
Man, I appreciate it. I'm telling you, I just think that 2 days ago or a day ago, the Lord was just like, here, ding, you're done, go. It's like, okay, great. So I don't think tomorrow will be that big a deal, but it's something I got to have done. But I appreciate your prayers, and I need you to keep praying for me, and I do want to pray for you before we exit. But let's do the trivia question. What prophet did Jesus compare himself to regarding the death and burial? What Old Testament prophet did he make that connection to?
Jonah.
That is correct, Amundo! I think it's worthy to note that there are some commentators out there that says, oh, well, Jonah, that was just a false, you know, kind of like a kind of a feel-good story in the Old Testament. It's like, really? Jesus quoted that multiple times, so I would say no, that's wrong. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like people are just so weird sometimes. Anyway, let me pray for you real quickly, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. I lift up my dear brother Gary to you. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would bring your healing power into his body and that he would be healed by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I don't have enough faith. He doesn't have enough faith that can absolutely change the universe. But we offer you our mustard seeds of faith, which can move mountains. And we ask you to move the mountain in his life and let him be healed in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll keep praying for you and the others as well.
Thank you, bro. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, let's get back into the text. We are at this next section. I love this show. I hope you guys are having a good time. I'm having a good time. Get back to the next section. We're in Acts chapter 15, verse 22. It says this, "Then the apostles, the elders, and the whole church in Jerusalem chose delegates, and they sent them to Antioch of Syria with Paul and Barnabas to report on this decision. The men chosen were two of the church leaders, Judas, also called Barnabas, and Silas. This is the letter they took along with them." This letter is from the apostles and elders and brothers in Jerusalem. It is written to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia. Greetings. Let's just stop right there. Look, in every family, there are structures and authority. So the idea that, you know, there's not structure and authority is absurd. There are structures and authority. There are leaders. There are people that have jobs that are more up front. There are people that have jobs that are more in the back. Everybody participates in everything. In this instance, you have, it's noted twice that the apostles, was it twice or three times? At least twice. That the apostles, the elders, and the whole church were unified. There are many times in church where the leaders are doing the best they can. They go in a direction. Maybe it's a good direction. Maybe it's not a good direction. I get it. I'm not, you know, it does happen. There are times where there's more, you know, those that are in one sense of authority maybe have a different pull than others. Yeah, I get it. But everybody is involved in the major moments of the church, and everybody should be involved. It doesn't necessitate that every single decision needs to be unanimous. That's absurd. Any more than it requires that in a family. Because there's a father and a mother and the children, and the father and the mother are kind of ruling, right? So, I mean, let's just be honest. But in this instance, it is everybody together. I'll give you a great example of what that would be is if in your church, you guys were trying to make a decision on a ministry. Okay, I don't care if your church is 20 people or 20,000 people. And the certain group of leaders, the teachers, the people that are up front propose one thing or have an idea on one thing, and the people that are behind them but are structurally running the executive. So we often call the teaching pastor and then the executive pastor. We kind of separate them, although I'm not sure that's brilliant, but we do it anyway. And then just imagine if that, the teaching pastor, the executive pastors, all the leaders, and all the people of your church had one mind and one accord. You want to know what would happen in that church? Anything that church wanted to do in the kingdom of God. Now just wait, just wait. At the Tower of Babel, the Lord laid down the principle. You can't change it. The people are of one language. They speak the same. And anything they've put their hearts to, they can accomplish. But what they were doing was trying to build their own kingdoms for their own glory and their own name. And in doing that, God made it difficult or impossible, let's just say. Of course, that is the forerunner to Pentecost, where all of a sudden, instead of the language separating everybody, now the language unites everybody, right? Okay, that's the goal. But what I'm trying to say to you is, even in the framework of your church, when you're praying for your church, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an executive pastor, whether you're an attender, I don't care what your position is, you as a church, as a movement, as a group should be praying, praying, praying that you guys would be one mind, because there will be nothing you can't do in ministry if you get there. Now, how powerful is that? Now, think about that between a husband and a wife. And if they're of one mind, they'll take their family where they need to take the family.
That's just... I was literally thinking about that concept today, Dave. It is so missed, but I guess that's why the enemy attacks in that area.
Again, not Abraham Lincoln's speech. A house divided, it cannot stand. But a house united cannot be defeated.
Kingdom principles.
Don't you love that stuff? Oh, my God. How do you not love it? All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I, too, have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And you're thinking, that's a great verse, Dave. What does that got to do with Thanksgiving? Right? Because that doesn't have any application except for God is pictured here as always was, always is, and always will be. And a person who is walking in the dynamic of continually giving thanks is looking at their past with thanksgiving, is looking at their present with thanksgiving, and is looking at their future with thanksgiving, because God has operated in the past, the present, and the future, and you have a past, a present, and a future. And when you look at your past and you operate with thanksgiving, and you look at your present and you operate with thanksgiving, and you look at your future and you operate with thanksgiving, you're operating in those principles with God. And if you look at your past with thanksgiving, guess what you won't have? You won't have bitterness. And if you look at your present with thanksgiving, guess what you're going to have? A trusting and a confidence. And if you look to your future with thanksgiving, guess what you're going to have? A hope for a better tomorrow. All these principles operate if you will continually walk in thanksgiving on every aspect and element of your life. You won't be bitter. You'll be trusting God and walking in confidence. You'll be looking for a better tomorrow. You'll be operating in the principle of faith. You'll be honoring God, and you'll be set yourself free in your partnership with God. How can that be bad? Amen. How can that be bad? I mean, it blow my mind. Crying out loud. We should be thanking God for, oh, but this terrible thing happened. But look how God brought you through it. Amen. This terrible thing is happening, but look how God is bringing you through it. Hey, when they start shooting Christians, look how God took you out and brought you to Him. I mean, it's like it's all together. You can't escape this. If you look at your life with a continual feast of thanksgiving, you'll have a continual feast.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. As with
the welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our last trivia question, then our history, then our final teach. Here's your last trivia question. What is the fourth fruit listed on the fruits of the Spirit? What is the fourth fruit listed on the fruits of the Spirit? Oh, good one. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. You have that opportunity to do so. We're going to do history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, today is National Brown Bagot Day.
Meaning?
You bring your lunch in a brown bag.
Oh, pretty cool.
See, now, what's funny, really funny is people really understand the old classic comedy groups. They would understand that Nick Danger was a classic comedy routine, and so he was supposed to be a detective, and this guy walks in his office, and he goes, "Can you determine what it is that I have here that most people could never figure out no matter what?" And then in the comic routine, he goes, "I thought very long and hard about it, and then I answered, it's a brown paper bag." See, that's funny.
Interesting.
That's just funny. Today is also National Tap Dance Day. I could never tap dance.
I thought you were about to say you could.
I could not. I cannot.
Me neither.
That would require many things, which I possess none of them.
A lot of coordination and balance.
Yeah, forget that. That's not happening. On this day in 1935, Babe Ruth hit his 714th home run. On this day in 1935, same day, Jesse Owens tied 4 track and field world records in a span of 45 minutes.
2 all-time greats.
I mean, just incredible. Just this amazing stuff. 1973, Skylab. Oh, my. Skylab, the crew arrived in the United States Space Station, which was launched on May 14th. Space Station suffered damage shortly after takeoff when a protective shield and a solar panel broke off. The crew made repairs, returning to Earth on June 22nd. So Skylab was just a lab in space where people would do experiments like experiments in space, I guess.
That interesting. Would
be, if you like it, you can get really great stuff. Okay? All right. Let's see. That'll be it for history. I'll just run for there. We'll just redo the triv. What is the fourth fruit listed of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. So one of our newer texters writes in. I'll have to say it after somebody gives an answer because the response is very funny. So I'm going to give them props for that. But anyway, 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. To text, you would text 214-210-8483, or you would send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's finish off this portion on the text. This is the letter we're picking up in Acts chapter 15, verse 24. "We understand that some men from here have troubled you and upset you with their teachings, but they had no instruction from us. So it seemed good to us, having unanimously agreed on our decision, to send you these official representatives, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas to tell you what we have decided concerning your questions. So it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these requirements. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood, or eating the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you will do well. Farewell." That's the letter. So the two things on this that I think everybody should just acknowledge, we just talked about unity before, is that the first thing they said in verse 25 is, having unanimously agreed. I mean, that's just like, wow. Right? They're all on the same page. The second thing is that we sent these people because there was other people that came to you that we didn't send. And those didn't send people have been disrupting you. And let me just say something to you about your personal life and your personal walk in Jesus Christ. People come into your lives. Some people God sends into your life. That's awesome. Some people God doesn't send into your life, in the sense that he didn't direct them into your life. They come into your life and they try to create problems. And you know what? You just look at this and go, you see, these people, they went there when they were not assigned by the Lord, and they created problems. Now we're going to backtrack on those people and send you the right people and get things squared away, you should be aware of that for your own life. Some people come into your life, they have something to say, it's from the Lord. Some people come into your life, they have something to say, it ain't from the Lord. Guess what? We just talked yesterday about the gift of discernment. Guess what you need? Gift of discernment. Right? So you have to understand that what's important about this is that people come into your life. There are people that have well intentions. Doesn't mean they always have the right thing to say. Got to make sure what the source is, what's going on. You got to have discernment. And if they speak into your life, if you let them speak into your life, you better make sure it's God. Here's how you avoid people speaking into your life. Ready? You don't receive it. People, well, they judge me. Well, ignore them. Sometimes it's like the thing is, these people are really mean and they judge me and they do this. Well, don't pay attention to them. Don't give them any space. Make sure that which you receive is from the Lord. That is your responsibility. So the people that came there without the authentication of the Jerusalem church, they were creating problems. Now the Jerusalem church is like going, we're going to set this straight. These people are from us. They're going to confirm what we had to say. They're there to minister. I mean, how cool is that? Be aware of that. I do think it's fascinating. Verse 28, we only have 20 seconds to talk about it, but James says it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I love that because it seems like there's a definite collaboration and partnership between how the Holy Spirit directed the early church and the early church's function, and there should be that today in church. Don't tell me church should just be, you know, all these specific repetitive things. It should be a collaboration between the people and the Holy Spirit. Just no way around it. All right, the fourth fruit of the Spirit is patience. We will give big props to a new person who texted in. Has texted in a few times, and this is patience, and I want it now. Brilliant. That's brilliant. That's kind of how it is. I want patience. I want it right now.
You know how that is.
Yeah, I do. All right. All right, we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to be taking a 96.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. Or 94.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then. It may be false, but it
feels the same. So I... Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.